Christchurch, and welcome to our third week in this series called Setting the Stage. And Mark kicked us off a couple of weeks ago with a great overview of the first three chapters of Genesis. And that's kind of going to be our focus area in the Bible for this series called Setting the Stage. And then last week, we had Steve Cooper kind of share around creation, a really high-level look at creation and how science doesn't disagree with the Bible, but actually science can be a very good descriptor of the Bible, the creation narrative that we read, and how we can actually look at the creation narrative through the eyes of the observer. Great message from last week. Go and check that one out. But this week, we're going to be looking at, I guess in the third week, we're going to be looking at God, the Trinity, the Word. And there's so much that we can talk about with this today. But talking about this setting the stage, it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor for God's creation, God in those early chapters of the Bible, setting the stage for everything that he's going to do. And so that's what we want to talk about. So this, as a metaphor, here's 10 things I reckon we should know. First of all, the stage, it belongs to him. The stage is his to set how he wants. He is the writer of what happens. He's the author. We're not supposed to be co-writers. Sometimes that's easier said than done. God, which is the Trinity that we're going to talk about today, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are the actors, the cast, if you like. No one's acting. This is real life. But again, using this metaphor, we're not supposed to be actors. We are not supposed to be actors that go rogue or go off script, so to speak, even though we do. You and I, we're all in supporting roles. The story, the Bible, has already begun. The key moments of this narrative, of what we see played out on this stage, the key moments are when we see the main actors take the stage. And I just wrote this last one down. The finale will blow your mind. The finale is going to be amazing. So what are we doing this week? We're talking about the Trinity. We're talking about the Bible. And I've called the message this week, Meet the Cast. I'm going to start with some verses here. First of all, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, which says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in the Gospel of John, written thousands of years later when John the Apostle wrote this, he starts off with these exact same words. He says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself, John that is, was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And the Word, here it is, verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. So in the beginning, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then John is saying here, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, saying that Jesus is God. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on. Let's shift gears for a second. Have you ever met someone famous? And I've got a little bit of a fun surprise for you. But back in 2018, Marvel released a movie called Avengers Endgame. Here, I'm going to put up some photos as I'm talking here of the poster. And then here's the picture of all the cast members in that. And then right at the very end, I want to show you, this is what I want to show you. At the very end, when we're kind of waiting for through the credits, because Marvel likes showing these little snippet bits after the movie's actually finished, but you have to watch all the credits to get to that point. And we got to that point, and what I'm looking through the credits, and I was really pleased to see this. My name came up there. And I just thought I'd brag a little bit on Facebook to be a part of the production of a Marvel movie. And so I put it out there and said, hey, if anyone's been wondering what I've been doing these last few months, now you can see. You can see that I've been involved in a Marvel movie. And there's even some comments on there that that I've thrown up there that you can see how people responded. Some people believed me, which was nice, because hopefully I'm a trustworthy person. Maybe they don't trust me as well now. But it was actually a joke. It wasn't real. A bit of imposter syndrome on my part. I wasn't in the cast. And spoiler alert, it wasn't me in the credits. I didn't even sneak onto the set. I wasn't even in the same country. But it was a bit of fun to have a look at. Now, the point of showing all of that is because sometimes we lose sight of God when we make the stage about us. When I was trying to say, hey, look at me, look at my name. Even when my name did appear, it was a role that no one would have seen or observed on the screen. Was, oh, there's Scott Dawkins. Now, sometimes there's something in us, isn't there, that we love to be the center of attention. Sometimes. We look at life sometimes through a lens of me. How does this impact me? How does what you're doing affect me? What are you doing? How can you make my life better? How do I get the best out of you so that you can give the best of you to me? We sometimes get wrapped up in this idea that everything is orbiting around us. But again, another spoiler alert for you, and I'm sure you know this already, life does not revolve around us. It's not about our fame or our fortune or our festivities or our priorities, our plans or our preferences. Today is a reminder that from day one in the Bible, on day one, God has set the stage for the outworking of his plan and his will and his desire for both himself and for all of mankind as well. And that's a big stage. I wouldn't want to try to be the center of that stage. That's a lot of work, a lot of stress, a lot of burden, and a lot of planning and preparation to do. So I do not want to be the center of that stage, but I want to be a part of the stage that God has set. So one of the first things that we learn in the Bible, in those verses, is that God actually reveals himself to us. Let's go back to Genesis 1 and look at this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So it said, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And there's actually one word in the Hebrew for that in the beginning phrase. So basically it's saying right there's an establishment about to happen. It's not an accident. There's a real sense of purpose in those words, in the beginning. It's not just marking time. It's actually marking a bit of a purpose as well. So in the beginning, and then the very next word is God, or as Moses uses the word when he's writing these first five books of the Bible, he uses the word Elohim. Now, I was researching that word Elohim. We're going to get a little bit technical for a second, but bear with me because this is actually really cool. Throughout the first account of creation, the deity is simply called Elohim. This word is strictly a plural of Eloah, which is used as the name of God only in poetry or in late books like those of Nehemiah and Daniel. In poetry, Eloah is sometimes employed with great emphasis, as for instance in Psalm 18 verse 31 that says, "Who is Eloah except Jehovah?" And while some sister dialects, some derivative dialects use the singular both in poetry and prose, the Hebrews used the plural Elohim as the ordinary name of God, the difference being that to the one God was simply power and strength, which is the root meaning of Eloah, but to the other, to the plural, he was the union of all powers, the Almighty. The plural Elohim thus intensified the idea of the majesty and the greatness of God, but besides this, or as well as this, it was the indicator, the initiator, or the seed of the doctrine of a plurality of persons in the divine unity. All right, so that was a lot of words. What is that in English? What we see when Moses writes these words, "In the beginning, God, Elohim," it's in that word Elohim that we see the triune Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what it means by the plurality of persons in the divine Trinity, that we understand that the Godhead, Elohim, is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all together, working together, in unison together, in unity together, with the same purpose together, with the same passion together, with the same love together. And so Moses uses that word Elohim to sum all that up. Each member of the Trinity is God. The Heavenly Father is God. Listen to these words in 1 Corinthians. "We know that an idol is nothing at all in the world and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, with the little g, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many little gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live, and there is but one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through him we live." So the Father is God. Also, Jesus Christ is God. In Isaiah, a really well-known verse that we hear at Christmas time, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." So the Father is God, Jesus is God, and the Holy Spirit is also God. And I'm going to look at a few verses here. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." There's some other names for the Holy Spirit throughout the Bible too, other ways that he is referenced. The Spirit of Truth, which is what we just read. The Holy Spirit in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." The Holy Ghost is an old translation for those words, Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, which is what we just read before in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, also in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of Christ. They are all together, they are all interconnected and entwined together, and they have a personal form as well. They're in complete unity, they are utterly connected, they have no disagreement, they love the same, they work the same. To know the mind of Christ is to know the name of the Father, and that's the same as to know the mind of the Holy Spirit. To be in step with the Holy Spirit is to be in step with Christ and is to be in step with the Heavenly Father. That's what this is, that the Trinity, the Godhead, there's three persons, but they are so together that you don't need to worry about whether you're praying to God the Father, whether Jesus hears you or not, or if you're having a conversation with the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, you can know straight away that Jesus and the Father are all hearing that as well. It's amazing. It's a lot to get our heads around, but it is amazing. And not only are they God, but they are eternal. They are not created. They do not have a starting point. And that's another thing that's hard for us to wrap our minds around. Like, well, who created God? No one created God. Because if there was a creator of God, then we'd have to go to that creator of God and figure out who was the creator of the creator of God. And then who was the creator of the creator of the creator of God. And if you can see that, that sets up a bit of an infinite loop anyway. But the actual thing that we know from the Bible is that God is eternal. He is not created. He was not made. He has always been. And I think in our minds that we're so used to thinking finite that can be a bit of a trick for us. Excuse me. That can be a bit of a trick for us. It's like trying to imagine what's infinity. Because whatever the biggest number we could write down, you can always add one to it. You can always double it. You can always square it. You can always make a number bigger. So infinity is this concept of there is no end to numbers. And so we can kind of half wrap our minds around that concept and apply that here as well to say God is infinite. He's infinity. He is infinity in that direction and infinity in that direction and every other direction as well. Elohim, the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they exist together and they have set the stage for unrestricted relationship with mankind, for mankind's redemption from ourselves. I want to read that again. Elohim, the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they exist eternally together and they have set the stage for unrestricted relationship with mankind and for mankind's redemption from ourselves. And Mark's going to speak a little bit more about that on week 8 in terms of why redemption, why do we need redemption and how did that all happen. But I'm just trying to get us to see that God, the Godhead, the Trinity, that they exist. And that's in the beginning, God, he was right there from those first words. As we consider the stage that God has set, there's an amazing consideration for us in this. In the context of all time, we have a very short stint where God has brought us onto the stage. So I was born in 1973, and maybe I've got a couple of decades, few decades, who knows? God knows that. But we all have a set time of life to live. We have a born date and we have a death date where we will then step into eternity. But it's that little time frame where we are on the stage that God has set on earth that's just for a really brief time. And yet, even though we're only on it for a brief time, God is always and consistently on that stage that he has set. He's always involved. He is always active. He's always moving. And like billions of others, our time on the stage is fleeting, but his time is constant. And God remains on that stage all the time. Now, I'm going to throw a picture up of a blank screen here. Maybe that's what things can look like for us timeline. That's the stage that we find ourselves on for a fleeting moment. And the God who gives you grace on that stage of life today, think about this, is the same God who gave grace to the Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago when he was on that stage. The God who provides for you today is the same God who provided manna for the nation of Israel even more thousands of years ago. It's the same stage, it's the same place, it's the same creation, the same God. But as humanity, we have our different times and we all see God moving in our life. And it's the same God who provided for Israel with the manna, and back that then, the same God who provided for you this week, the same God. The God who encourages you today is the same God who encouraged David as a shepherd boy when he was just a shepherd out in the fields trying to defend the sheep against lions and bears. Same God that was with David then is the same God that's with us today. The same God who was with you in your trial is the same God who was in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The God who calls you today, there's a calling on your life. God has given you a calling, a purpose, a reason for you to live out this life. The God who calls you today is the same God who called out to Samuel three times when he was a young man. Same God who calls. Now listen to this from Romans chapter 8. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him, so he's talking about the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Now this is huge for me. I've had to think about this many, many times, that the same Spirit that was a part of seeing Jesus raised from the dead, that's a lot of power, that's a lot of ability, that's a massive miracle, right? The same Spirit who was there, who raised Christ from the dead, is the same Spirit who dwells in me and you. The same, not different, not another person, not another version of the Holy Spirit, but the same Holy Spirit that did all those things. Amazing, miraculous. He dwells in us. This is the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They changeth not, as the verse says and some old hymns say. There is a stage that the Trinity has set, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the main cast members. Our time on the stage is but a moment, but it's His stage. He made the stage. He sets the stage. He does everything that He wants to do on that stage. Elohim has set the stage, and the narrative of heaven's author is for Him and for us to know Him through the theme of His love for you. He is the same God. In the beginning, God. What an amazing thought. What an incredible God we serve, we praise, we worship. We worship Him. I pray this is an encouragement to you today, just as you think about God, Elohim, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were there right back at the beginning when God said through Christ, who was the Word, became flesh, let there be light. He's the same God who's with us today and will be with us forever into eternity as well. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank You for Your Word today. We thank You for Your message, Lord, the reminder of who You are, that You are God, that the stage is Yours, that You made the stage and that You set the stage and that You make Your narrative what happens on the stage. Lord, and I know that when it's our turn on the stage, we can mess things up. We can go off script, so to speak. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that despite those opportunities, Lord, that we'd be reminded today that Your way is the perfect way, that Your plans for our lives are the perfect plans. And Lord, that even despite those moments where we have gone off script and where we've been subjected to other people going off script, Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would continue to carry out Your plan and purpose on that stage for our lives, that our lives would be open, Lord, to draw close to You, to walk in step with You, to bring our lives in step with your script, in line with your word. And I thank you for that. Thank you for the reminder of that. Thank you for your presence that's in us. Lord, let us never take that for granted. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you. Bye-bye.